Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. Thank you for joining me this evening on the With Insights Radio channel of blogtalkradio.com. Please join us for our other shows here on With Insights, and that would be Iggy Garcia and Rosa Bell and their Intuitive Readings Hour. I think I just made that name up, but that's what it is. Mondays at 6 p.m. and Jenny Seek, Tuesdays at 7. And there's also a new show, Wednesdays at noon, Heather Tapia and Entrepreneurial Excellence. I believe that's still on. And then Fridays at midnight, there's me, Mato Sasquatch, here with you. Should let you know that we are in ceremony. I've lit the incense, offered it to the four directions. So anything that I may say is protected under federal and international law pertaining to indigenous peoples and their religious and spiritual ceremonies. Okay, housekeeping done. Welcome to day one of the apocalypse. I don't know if that's what it looks like where you are, but that's sure what it looks like where I am. We are in the midst of a power failure, so this is your power failure edition of Mud Toe at Midnight. So the power went off at about 5:30, so we're about 6.5 hours into this. I don't know how much you can hear. I'm on my cell phone, but it doesn't seem to. All the lights are. I'm on my front porch, and all the street lights are out. It's very dark, except when cars are going by, and plenty of cars are going by. It doesn't seem to have affected the level of traffic for Friday night at midnight, nor does it seem to have affected the number of drunken revelers that one would expect going down the street on a Friday night during the summer. Of course, summer is very slow. Most of the students at the university have gone home for the summer, but there are enough still here to raise a little ruckus on a Friday or Saturday night, sometimes other nights too. So I'm sitting here marveling at the darkness of the street, except when the cars go by, of course, which is pretty, maybe a few seconds pause, and then a car will go by. You could probably hear it. So I feel, I'm not feeling terribly uneasy. It's always unsettling to look up and see that the street lights aren't on and the traffic signal is not on. I'm actually seeing, I can see my car. I don't have off-street parking here. I have to park on the street. Actually, at the moment, I can't see it. I cannot see it when there are no cars going by because it's a deep burgundy color, and it just blends right into the night. I can only see it when a car goes by and the headlights fall on, which means that the drivers going by can only see it when their headlights fall on it. So I'm really keeping my fingers crossed and putting out some positive energy to my vehicle, hoping that I'm putting out that positive people will see me as they go by energy, so my car does not get sideswiped or clobbered during this night. And who knows how long it will last. I don't have access to any channels of communications at the moment. Obviously, my internet is down. My only link to the outside world, per se, is this cell phone that I'm talking on right now. And since I'm talking to you, I can't use it for anything else. I don't have a smartphone. I have a dumb phone. I just have to take in what's around me and draw my conclusions from that. Obviously, my first conclusion is the power company has not finished their work. Of course, we don't know that they had even determined exactly what the problem is. I should take a step back. We had a storm earlier today. We're presuming precipitated the loss of power. Big lightning flashes and sounds a lot like artillery in the Civil War must have sounded like. I hear that sometimes. You have that, you get that big thunder clap that's all sort of, sometimes thunder seems really spread out, and other times it seems really grouped together. I don't know it's sort of a picturesque way to describe it, but it's just wham, you know, that, like a big, like something exploding. And that always gives me a picture in my mind of standing on a big empty field somewhere and looking up at the hills and seeing the flashes of cannon fire. And I somehow know that it's the Civil War that I'm experiencing. I don't know whether that's come to me from a movie or what's happening, but I always get that. That's the picture I get in my head whenever I hear that boom, big thing. And, of course, then the crack you hear on the ground, and you know something has been hit. And I'm guessing it was a transformer or one of those big things by the side of the road that's behind the chain link fences. Says, danger, do not mess with this. I'm guessing that a tree fell on one of those or something got fried, and that, by God, they got to trace it down and fix it, and maybe it's going to take a while. Maybe trucks are going to have to come in with pieces to make things right, and, you know, it could be days. It could be weeks before my large city in the Midwest is back to form. And I think it's a reminder of how fragile these systems we humans put together and that we are so proud of, how fragile they are. You know, one thunderclap, Mother Nature claps her hands or stomps her feet, and everything goes dark. When will the lights be back? Who knows? Anybody's. That was an interesting sound. Somebody's moving around in the vicinity. My eyes peeled. Well, anyway, I see that took my mind off of what I thought I might say. Oh, so yeah, what's happened is I'm sitting on my front porch because it is just so stiflingly hot inside the apartment. And you know, that's what I was thinking. I was going to do this show from inside the apartment, and I couldn't. It just got to like within a half an hour of the show, and I couldn't. I'm going to have to go sit out where it's cooler and do the show. And then I couldn't find my keys, which is a problem because it's a deadbolt door lock, but there isn't one of those little knob things on the inside. You have to have the key to get out as well as to get in. So not having the key was problematic. And it being a blackout and no lights in the house and trying to find keys was also problematic. So I was walking through every place. I knew I had to have had them when I came in. I was at Iggy's for dinner, and the lights are out there too, which is kind of fun, sitting and having dinner with no lights on, and they were cooking in the kitchen with no lights on. The gas stove they could use to cook. So they couldn't cook everything on the menu, but there was something they could cook. And Iggy and his daughter were in there with helmets on with the lights. What do you call them? Anyway, they had a light on their head, and that's what they were cooking by. So it was a lot of fun, and I thank them for their willingness to be there to feed people at a time when what is that? Okay, phew, that was interesting. I thought someone had come to. Some invisible being had come to deliver their siren song, but actually it was the radio of that car that was driving by. Okay, perhaps I am just a bit more freaked out by this than I originally wanted to admit. But anyway, I had dinner at Garcia's. I came back here at about 10 after the sun went down because I knew I had to prepare for the show. And, yeah, trying to, you know, lit a couple of candles, but it's still... You get more than what can candles do for you, you know, more than a few feet. So when I realized I didn't have my keys, and sort of this frantic search through the house with those lighters, you know, I used to light up the incense and to light the candles. You have to hold the button down with your thumb, and then there's a little trigger you push, and the thing lights up. And it's like a butane sort of big lighter with a big stem on it. So I was running through the house, not running. I was going through the house with that thing. And, you know, remembering that it was fire, so that if I got it too close to something, that would light up that thing. So, and finally I found the keys, like about 9 minutes before we went on the air. I found my keys. They were on the shrine table. I had placed them there evidently when I came in because that's where the lighter was. And I was collecting up some candles as well, so I probably picked up the lighter, put my keys down, and went out to collect the candles and then forgot that I had put the keys down there. So, all's well that ends well. I got my incense lit. I offered it to Ford Reckons, as I've already said. And now I'm on the air, and in the midst of still of this blackout, which has not come to an end, there's a yellow cab going by, which has not come to an end as I have been sitting here. So I am broadcasting tonight on my cell phone by the light of the silvery moon, which is shining down upon me right now, and that's the only reason really I can see anything at all while the cars aren't going by. And so I'm making plans for tomorrow because it's going to be busy tomorrow. I have a lot of stuff to do for work because I didn't get it done today because of the lousy weather and the blackout and so forth. I shouldn't have a problem. The university has its own power plant, so the light should be on, the air conditioning should be on, there should be no problem. But, you know, I'm one of these people who tends to look on the dark side of things. I don't want to, I figure the minute I count on it, it won't happen. I don't want to count on it by thinking as soon as the sun gets up tomorrow, I don't know if I'm going to sleep tonight at all. It's awfully hot up there. If the power doesn't come back on, I'm thinking at first light I will jump in the shower and then jump out while it's still relatively cool because we've been having near record heat. This is a lousy, lousy time for a power outage, a long one to be coming out during near record heat. I'll buzz down to the university. It's about a 20-minute walk. And just take care of my business, just to camp there and to watch the news and to see what happens as far as, what my plans to leave for sleeping tonight or tomorrow night. Now, there are some long-term considerations. First off, my car has very little gas in it. Very little gas in it. So I texted my daughter to see what's going on. She lives in a suburb, probably about 20 minutes outside of town, to see, if they have juice. I thought I could always impose on her. You know, please take your old father in. Don't let him boil. Well, no, the lights, no such luck. The lights are out up there, too. And she said she talked to her mother, who lives a further half an hour to the north. And so they don't have power either. So I think we're well beyond presuming that the radius goes all the way around the city, which I don't know that's true. I have no source of news. But if we're talking 50 minutes to an hour around the city with no lights and no air conditioning except for the university, I don't have the working range with my vehicle to get out there. Because if the power's off, obviously, you can't get any juice out of the gas pumps because they all run on electricity. I mean, unless you do like in the disaster movies and take that manhole cover off and dip a siphon down there. I don't have a siphon. Who has a siphon? How many people own a siphon? I don't. But I have to get out the stand and start reading about all the things they did and learn about these things. Because it's not, you forget about it. Until I was through something similar. I lived in 2003. It was in the winter. And they had, it was just a stupid thing that happened that somebody turned the dial to the left instead of to the right. And before they knew it, 7 states were blacked out. It's just some sort of, it was like the computer simulation they use to keep power plants from zooming out of control, which they can do. They can spike and destroy themselves, burn themselves up before anybody can stop them. So they have this sort of protocol that tells the power plants when to sort of calm down. Well, somebody put the wrong switch and made all of the power plants in the Midwest sort of calm down, and the power failed in 7 states, and they had to bring repair crews, and they're coming in from down in Florida, I think I remember, and they had to bring new pieces of equipment and so forth. And my parents' house was without power for 5 days while that was going on. And this was in the winter time, so we had the oven open, and we were living in the kitchen because the heat was coming out of the oven. I remember the YMCA had opened up a shelter, and I went and stayed a couple nights there. My parents, they were too proud. But I wasn't proud. I like heat. I like hot showers. So I did that. But that was, I've had this experience before. I know this can happen, and I know it can go on for more than a few hours. And which is why it's so perplexing to me that you hear 9 years on, this takes me as such a, maybe not as a surprise, but I'm obviously terribly unprepared for it. I don't have anything, you know, the only candles I have in the house are votives, which, you know, it's not, you know, they don't put out a whole lot of light, and they're not terribly convenient to carry around. They just want to go out. So I don't have that. What else? You know, everything. I have a refrigerator full of food, but I don't want to access it because, I mean, if it gets into tomorrow, I'm going to have to do something with it because, you know, it will spoil. As long as, you know, as long as you keep it closed and it's like warm for a day or so, I don't know. I'll have to look it up on the internet when I get to campus. How long, you know, because what they always tell you is don't open the refrigerator and the food will be all right for a little while. But then you reach a point where you're getting to the end of a little while and you got to use the food or I don't know what else you can do with it. You use it or throw it away, I guess. So we'll have to look into that. I've still got work to do. I have my first purchase order for my new job. I have to get that put in. I want to make sure that gets done before business opens on Monday, so the professor who requested it, I can tell her first thing that I've passed on to the next person. Ditto for the arrangements for fire extinguisher training. I want to make sure I can say first thing on Monday, yes, it's done. And I am teaching a class on Monday. It's our video training for our science and math. Actually, it's only the science ones. The maths are going to do it later. Our science students, teachers who will take these their cameras out and photograph their teaching, or tape their teaching, and then they show it. You know, they get their supervisors see it, their advisors see it, their professors see it, and they get critiqued and so forth and so on. So that will be taking place. And I need to prepare. Oh, their assignment is that they have to make a short video of themselves, and I am going to model that, as good teachers do, by making a video myself that conforms to the specifications that they're supposed to use for their video. And I'm going to do it using only the equipment that's going to be available to them through our lab. Now, they don't have that. I mean, they're allowed to use whatever equipment they want. I just want it's a demonstration of our equipment, so that's what I'm going to stick with. But all of this has to get done Saturday and Sunday. And I guess my apartment not being available to me will help to facilitate that. I also want to get some writing done, too. I want to get some writing done today. Today was a very unproductive day. It's just so hot. I went out, you know, I was going to spend a little time outside because I try and spend a little time outside every day. But it was so flipping hot. And you know, I ended up, there's a firefly. Okay, anyway, I'm easily distracted. So I ended up ducking into the library. They got into the computer, and that was a good opportunity to do some writing, but basically I just ended up on Twitter after that. Twitter sort of become my new Facebook, so I've been off of Facebook, and I got off of that because I was spending too much time just messing around on Facebook. Now I seem to be spending too much time just messing around on Twitter. And I have a story to write. I wrote, it's on the website, it's the first part of a story. It's a faux autobiography. It's just written as if it's this film director who's looking back on his career. It's like one chapter from the book. You know, of course, the book doesn't exist. It hasn't been written. But it's a story that's been in my mind for a long time, and it seems to crowd out the other stories that I think are more, would be better for me to, you know, put out as my first published stories. But this one, pushing those out of my head, so I figure if I write it, or at least part of it, that maybe I can satisfy that story's need to be told and then move on to some of this other stuff. Or maybe that will happen that way. Maybe this will become the story that I tell. I don't know. But I wrote the first part of it and published it on my website. And now I need to get the second part of it out of there. And I really hoped to have that on today, but that didn't happen. So perhaps I will find some time tomorrow to do that as well. But since, I don't know. You know, the lights do come on when I'm talking. You know, I say hopefully. But no, it didn't happen. I just don't want to go back into that part of it. Just don't. You ever had that experience? Because I think you just don't want to do it. But there's nothing, no place. I definitely don't want to walk someplace at 12:39 on a Friday, particularly with no streetlights. I don't want to do that. I have almost no gas in my car, and you know, at this point, no idea where I would find a gas pump. I have $7 in my wallet, and no idea where I could find a working ATM. Actually, I have an idea where I could find a working ATM, but I don't know if I can get into the student union at this hour of the night. But if the university has power, then the ATMs at the student union should be working unless the banks have closed down for some reason. But you don't know. You don't know. There's just so much uncertainty. I hate uncertainty, which is why I decided to study, you know, shamanic faith. It's all about uncertainty. How do I do these things? I don't know. Anyway, here I am. I'm on my porch. It's whatever time it is. I can't, when I'm on my cell phone, I can't look at my cell phone because that's my watch. At some point between 12 midnight and 12:30, sitting on my porch in the darkness, where it's cooler, and that's where I'm at. That's my... I'm trying to think of something really clever and philosophical to say, and it's just not coming. So, what's to talk about? I didn't make notes because there's no way I could read them. I know there are just a number of wonderful things that went. Oh, I did want to tell you, I went and saw Ted. And this is the first not seeing Ted, although, well, yeah, this is the first time I've ever seen Ted. It's the first time anybody's ever seen Ted, but that was the movie Ted is what I'm talking about, with the family, the guy who makes Family Guy. And the movie's about a teddy bear who's alive. And there's one thing I've never done is, you know, sometimes when new movies come out, they do the first showings at, you know, midnight or 12:01, you know, on the day that it's supposed to premiere. So everybody comes and lines up for that first midnight showing. I did that. I had never done that before. But Iggy wanted to go, and he talked me into going with him. So we went out there, and it was a pretty young crowd, I guess, who does these midnight shows. So it was this very full theater, mostly young people, and Iggy and I, and watched this movie. And the movie was okay. It's hard for me to get my head around the idea of paying $7.50 for any movie, but let alone $9.50, which is what it is at the, you know, at the prime time, where at midnight, so it's $7.50. But a lot of money to pay for a movie. It was all right. I mean, it had a lot of good jokes, a lot of good one-liners, which you would expect from the guy who writes Family Guy. That's what I would explain. It's sort of a long episode of Family Guy. It got a little slow in places, particularly at the end. If you read my Twitter account, you already know that because that's what I wrote about it. But, you know, worth the effort. I'm glad I did it. And now I can say proudly that I've done the midnight movie thing. You can't say, come on, do the midnight movie thing. What's the matter with you? Hey, I did it. I did it for Ted. So, what are my other new experiences for this week other than blackouts, which aren't a new experience? I went to an art exhibit. Also not a new experience. I've done that a lot of times. And it was they've too. This is the art gallery that's right next door to the building where I live work, but more and more like I live there. Went to the art exhibit. I'm talking slowly. Okay, it's just someone walking with what appears to be, I don't know what they're walking with, but there's like red and blue lights tapping, and obviously, you can see them coming, so they don't get run over by cars. The art exhibits. There were two exhibits, and one of them was a woman from Eastern Europe whose name I could never hope to be able to pronounce. And she was a sculptor and worked mainly with shapes she had cast from parts of her body. And her favorite part, at least among these pieces at the exhibit, were her chin and her lips. And it was very, I mean, it made the pieces personal, obviously, but it I felt like I was in contact with her in some way, because, I mean, it's a leg can just be a leg, but, you know, somehow the mouth especially seems very, I think anyway, very, very, very specific to one individual. And so I saw lots of her mouths, and she had like five or six of them in a piece. you know, she'd make them into lamps and stuff. It was very, very clever, very original stuff, and some very disturbing stuff. She died of cancer, and, you know, she knew she was dying, and she did a lot of pieces about, you know, sort of symbolizing what was going on inside of her body. You know, she visualized it in her mind, and it was kind of evil-looking stuff. And it's when there's exhibits like that that I really wish for a museum buddy, someone that I could share these feelings with as they're happening. Because it was very overwhelming. There was a point when I kind of felt like I was going to run out of the museum. I was getting this overload of this energy, this presence of this artist coming out of her work, coming out of those pieces. I mean, and there are people, and there's people, I wouldn't call them guards, but there's people in the gallery, in a suit and a tie, and they got a headset on and a microphone, and basically they're there to keep people from messing with the exhibits. And yeah, I didn't feel right going over there and talking to them. You know, it's not really their job, not really their call to take care of that my sort of psychic stress. So I came down, as I said, there were two exhibits, and one of them was on a higher level, and one of them was on a lower level. And, you know, it's a, you know, modern art buildings are kind of almost like art exhibits themselves, the way they put them together, and they have this sort of higher platform, and then there was a big ramp that went down to the lower level, and I'm guessing at least the length of a football field all told. So as I was going down this, you know, I did it at a rather leisurely pace. And the floors were made of wood, which is a natural material. I'm presuming that it was wood that came from trees and not, you know, something artificial they made up. But as long as it's natural tree in my mind, that's good enough. So I was, you know, I was placing my foot down on a piece of something that Mother Nature grew. So at each step, I said, I am, you know, with each step, I'm giving up some of that energy that I absorbed from those pieces. I'm putting it back into Mother Nature through those planks. And each step I repeated that to myself, going down and down and down and down and down. When I finally got down to the lower level, all that sort of distress had dissipated. Which is good, because it's really unsettling to have somebody else's energy rattling around in your chakras. Makes kind of a funny noise, too. Moving on, there was a second exhibit, and, again, I have no notes. Olmar was the gentleman's last name, and he's a filmmaker, and he had they had two of his films going, and one of them, they put you in this little room, and they had made the room up to look like a living room. There was a couch and a couple chairs, and a TV at the front, and this guy's film was playing on the TV. And the film was, it was made from bits and pieces of CNN news reports. It was the anchor, the talking head. And what he'd done was he'd taken single words from each of the talking heads, and he'd strung them together into his own messages. Things like, you know, why don't you care for me anymore? And it's just, why don't you care for me anymore? You know, taking the words out of the news reports. And then the other one, I'm not going to have time to talk to you about, because I'm down to a minute. And I have to decide. I have to decide what I'm going to do as soon as this show is over. Because tomorrow, if there's no power, I got to go to the university. I got to plug in my laptop and recharge it. I got to plug in my phone and recharge it. So much to do. I'm going to have to get groceries. I'm going to have to get like a small amount of groceries, and I'll figure out what I can do with the stuff that's in the refrigerator. Oh, this half hour just flew by. But I thank you for being there for me on this evening. That's a distressing evening for me. I hope it's much better wherever you are. And I will be back with you next week, hopefully with full electrical power, and tell you the story of Mr. Omar's second film. And thank you very much for joining me, and have a pleasant evening.